Church family, I've missed you guys. We've missed you guys. If you recall, we've been gone for a month, just about. Thank you, my brother. And the feeling is mutual in that we love you guys. We thank you for your love for us and your prayer, your faithful prayer. You've been praying for us, and it has made a difference. When Paul asked if I could preach this morning, I said yes without hesitation, because I'm grateful to God not only for this church and for a brother like Paul, you know, and Margie and Sandra and Steve. I'm grateful to God for them, but we are given opportunities to serve, and when the Lord asks us to do things, we should not hesitate to do it. We shouldn't do it. Not for the body of Christ. It's part of our love for the Lord, first and foremost. So I asked the Lord to show me what to preach on this morning. And it's going to be one of those topics that the world today, they have a problem with it. All right? It's taken from Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Now, if you recall, Matthew 25 follows what? Matthew 24. Right? Just follow along with me here. Matthew 24, if you recall, Jesus, it's a famous interaction between Jesus and his disciples when they asked the question, Lord, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the future? Do you remember that? And he goes into telling them, you know, one of the greatest chapters on prophecy is from Matthew 24. Well, Matthew 25 continues, and Jesus is the master teacher, right? He uses parables. In this chapter 25, he uses one of the parables I want to look at this morning is, you got it from the Psalm 100, we are the sheep of his pasture. So there is a parable about sheep and goat, right? Sheep and goat. Now, I understand there's a difference between both. You know, sheep are said to be pretty dumb, you know, but goats are smarter, I guess. But I know I love curry goat, so I never had curry sheep, you know. But in today's environment of changing and conflicting cultural values, I again confess that this message is not as easy or popular, nor it's not a popular one to preach on. But I believe it is necessary and timely to preach the whole counsel of God and not to cherry pick, you know, what people want to hear. All right? We're not in business for that. In Matthew 25, he is talking about the parable of the goat and the sheep. However, I'm going to read that portion of scriptures for you, but I also wanted to couch this passage with one verse from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And if you, as believers, know the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13 is famously known as the love chapter, right? The Apostle Paul talks about what love is, okay? Now, we can personalize love in it and see, if you put Jesus everywhere where the word love is, you'll get a good picture of who Jesus is, okay? So I'll quote only one verse in 1 Corinthians 13 and then another one of Paul's writings in Philippians 1, 9 through 11 about Jesus, who he is. So here are the words from Holy Scripture this morning. Matthew 25, 31 through 42, the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to drink, to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. My second reference, 1 Corinthians 13:13, concluding the love chapter, Paul says this, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In addition, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul wrote these words to the church at Philippi, and he said this, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I believe that today, with so much confusion taking place around us from so many different sources, that Jesus is giving us a very timely reminder of why Christians have every reason to rejoice, regardless of our current circumstances. That's the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is dependent on our circumstances. Joy is not dependent on our circumstances. This life is not the end. Jesus is coming back for his church. Christian, let me say that again. I think you need to hear it again. Jesus is coming back, maybe sooner than we think. So, how are you prepared for that? This ought to bring excitement, actually. I mean, Michelle and I were talking about this yesterday, and one of the questions that she brought to me was, how can we continue to praise God and be joyful when, according to the Word of God, there's some rough days coming. There's some rough days coming. But then the Scriptures, the Word of God, is faithful. It's sure. The promises of God are sure. And we can rely on it. We can depend on it. We have to. There's no other book than the Bible. We cannot build our lives on anything else but the Word of God. The foundation that we build on matters. If you build your house on sand, it will fall. It's just a matter of time. But if you build it on the rock, it will last a long time. The Word of God teaches us that. And so, yes, one of the things that we as Christians can rejoice about with confidence is that Jesus is coming back. And that's a joy. And so I have made at least three observations from the Matthew 25 passage. And that's where my primary focus will be today. The first observation that I made, and I trust that maybe you did the same thing too, is this, is that the Son of Man in verse 31, Matthew 25, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah or the Anointed One. You know, when he uses the term Son of Man, the religious people, leaders of his days, they were curious to hear him because they knew exactly what that meant. And when he used that term, they interpreted that, and correctly, that he was claiming to be God. Now, we believe that, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They had a problem with him claiming that, though. So, first observation when Jesus talked about the Son of Man in verse 31 is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is worthy of our worship and praise. That's why we're here today. That's why we're here every Sunday. That's why we love him and we serve him. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in his opening letter to the church at Ephesus on the theme of thanksgiving and praise and prayer when he wrote these words. He said, and God exerted his incomparably great power when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is Lord and King over all. There is none other like him. He deserves our worship and praise. We're all going to give an account one day. We're going to stand before him. And so that's observation number one. Jesus was speaking about himself in this parable. Second observation is this. And this is the rough part that a lot of people don't like to hear. There is a coming day of judgment. Right? There is a coming judgment. All of creation points to this. There's a beginning and there's an end. We're born and then we die. There's a cycle of life. It is important that we understand that there is a day of judgment coming because the Word of God teaches it over and over and over. Let's not, you know, minimize this at all. From the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is a day of judgment coming. Matthew 25, 32 says, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So there will be a separation. I mean, we live in a world that is filled with evil. You don't have to turn the TV on or listen to the radio to get confirmation of what I just said, right? It's real. But there's some comfort to know that all of this is not missed by God. God is still very much on the throne. He sees what's happening. And the Bible, according to John 3:16, tells us that he so loves this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, the Apostle Paul, when speaking about judging our brothers and sisters in Romans 14, verse 10 through 12, wrote, you then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. It's not my father speaking for me or my mother speaking for me. It will be me speaking for myself. It will be you speaking for yourself. We will have a day when we stand before God, and we have to treat this matter very seriously. There's a day of judgment coming. We must remain faithful in our daily walk as a Christian. Remember that true justice will be carried out by the righteous judge and king of all the universe. We're tempted at times to want to take justice in our own hands. That's not what the Bible teaches us as Christians. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. We leave it in God's hands. Sometimes we will see justice happen in our lifetime, and that's good, but not all justice, injustice that's taking place right now is going to be solved in our lifetime. Trust me, it won't. So, we already see where Jesus identified himself as the Son of Man. He said that there's a day coming when there will be a great separation. And he uses a picture that is very typical and common in that culture and around the world, a farming community. So my question to you is, since there is a separation, there are goats on one side, on the left, and the sheep on the right, which animal are you? Any person would normally ask that question, right? Which animal are you? I mean, people love to talk about, you're a party animal. Come on. Which animal are you this morning? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? The answer does matter because it determines where we spend eternity. To the sheep, or the righteous, according to Jesus, in the words of Jesus, or the blessed ones, Jesus says, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now, I'm still amazed by this response. Listen to the response of the sheep, all right? Talking sheep, right? We had a talking donkey in Balaam's day back in the Old Testament, right? So it does happen. So the sheep responds, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Notice Jesus' response to these questions from the sheep, right? Sheep talking. Jesus said, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Glory indeed. See that? In contrast, now, if you're a goat, those who are cursed, according to Jesus, in verses 41 through 45, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Folks, hell was not prepared for us. It was prepared primarily for Satan and the fallen angels. But if we don't put our heart, our faith, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd of our souls, we're going to join Satan and the angels who fell with him. I don't want to be there. We have a choice in this matter. And so Jesus said to these goats, he said, they will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And Jesus, he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. What a sad verdict. And so, my third observation, the final verdict from the righteous judge, King Jesus. For the believer in Jesus, his sheep, the righteous ones, Jesus says, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Folks, this is treasure. Do you realize that what that is saying to us? If you are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his sheep. You and I have an inheritance that is eternal. And by the way, eternal life starts the moment you receive Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. Eternal life is not just length of life, but quality of life. And the thing is, you can't live it without the Holy Spirit. So God gave us his Holy Spirit to take up residence in our hearts. And he is the one that moves in us and guides us if we surrender our will and our lives to him. This is where John 15, the vine and the branches, come into play. That we learn that the Christian life is not an easy life. It's an abiding life. It's a life of submission, surrender, total surrender to God and to his will. I'll say it again, it's not easy, but we're not alone. God has given us his Holy Spirit to live in us and to move in us and to make us do the things that you thought impossible. With God, all things are possible. There's no sin that you and I cannot overcome because of what Jesus did for us and because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, God living in us. However, on the other side, the unbeliever, the goats, Jesus says in verse 41, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, he says, and then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. You know, I've been among Christians where I was the youngest among them. So my older brothers and sisters that I was with on that particular weekend, they were talking about, and they were excited about this, that they believe that God had great things that he is doing and plans to do in their lives later in their lives. All right? I'm 64 years old. These people are older than me. And they were excited about what God is doing and will continue to do in their lives. That is something worth celebrating. Because if you have reason to live, then it's worth it. We have the Spirit of God living in us. As Christians, we're called to live a life that will bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no shortcut to it. But remember, God gives us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us the local body of believers, the church. And that's why we need the church. We need each other. Don't ever think that because of COVID that we don't need to come back in person. We need to come back in person. And so I encourage those of you who are online, please come back. We need you here. You're going to have a problem having communion this morning if you're not here. And so we say this morning, I'm grateful to God for the church. I'm grateful to God for who he is. I'm grateful to God for my brothers and sisters. Because I know even now, as I'm preaching this message, people are praying for us. God is already protecting and guiding and speaking by his Spirit to individuals. You know who you are. My prayer this morning is that you will answer the question, am I a goat or am I a sheep? Because clearly there's a day of judgment coming. We must be ready. And so, as I draw to the close of my message this morning, I realize that this may not be a popular message to preach on today. But as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I must be faithful to God and his word, knowing that I too will stand before him one day and give an accounting of how I live my life. By the way, it's not the first time that I've had to make a decision and stand alone, right, before God and man. So don't think that you're doing it and you're alone. When you honor God, he will always honor you. He will always, because he's faithful. Here are some of the reasons why I love this church. It's a church of sheep, yes. Probably some goat now and again, right? But at this church, we have a mission statement that calls every member to do three things. Number one, we invite others to join us in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's paramount here. We want you to know that there's hope. There is only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's not my word. That's the word of Jesus Christ. So if you have a problem with the word, take it up with Jesus, the great shepherd of our soul. Number two, we are to live lives that are submitted to his word and his Holy Spirit. Live lives submitted to his word and his Holy Spirit. And also, number three, become people who worship, who love, and pray, thereby impacting the world for Jesus Christ. You and I called to be witnesses right here in Jonesboro, right here. This is our Jerusalem. And going out. Every day, whether you're at work or you're at home or in your neighbor, you know, neighbors next door, this is our mission field. We must be about witnessing, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We also have a vision statement. Three Point Bible Church exists to love God, to love others, and to make disciples. Y'all should know that by heart, right? When I talk about this church, I tell them, Three Point Bible, love God, love people, make disciples. And I'm yet to hear anybody say that's not biblical. Because as far as I'm concerned, that summarizes the greatest commandment and the Great Commission right there in one. Right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbors, yourselves. Go into all the world, baptizing, teaching, witnessing, so that people may come to know Jesus Christ and serve him. So our mission and vision at Three Point Bible, if we follow them, put us in good standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Choose to be with those on his right side. That's my warning this morning. That's my appeal this morning. Choose to be with those that were on his right side, the sheep of his pasture.